These are pretty bizarre scriptures, pretty harsh scriptures that we hear today. If you have your worksheet out in front of you, I'm preaching on the books of the Bible, and today it's Deuteronomy. Key number? Two. I mean, that's pretty simple. Duet. Two. Nomos means law. Second law. Deuteronomy comes after 40 years of wilderness wandering because the men didn't ask for directions, of course. Just like last week, this is a review. This is just a review. So they've been wandering for 40 years, occupying cities, battling certain people groups, and they get to across the just east of the Red, east of the Jordan River, and they can see the land. That's the land that God had called Abraham and Sarah to go inhabit, and eventually they would own that land centuries before. So here they are outside the promised land, ready to go in, right? Moses ain't going to go with them. Deuteronomy are three sermons preached by a man who's going to die soon. And that's Moses. He didn't get across, go across the Jordan. Joshua takes over for him, and we'll get to that next week. And so here they're all sitting, and they have to listen to three very long sermons, and then he died. I'm not sure if they stoned him or what. I mean, maybe the sermon wasn't that good. I don't know. But they're there, and it's bizarre. If you look at the Deuteronomy text, and that's why I wanted the scripture, the Deuteronomy text, think about it. He preaches three sermons, and he kind of talks to him, and he talks about walking. We have two legs, right? Think of the two legs visually, and what that is that it has a lot of his words have to do with walking in the ways of God or standing with God. It has to do with your feet, right? God calls Israel and then calls us to dance. And you see the picture. I couldn't represent God, but he's dancing with Israel, and she's got a tutu on. Of course, it helps us remember the two, right? And it's a dance. It is not just hanging out. It is dancing. It's not walking. It's dancing. God wants us to dance with him, wanted Israel to dance with him. That is, be synchronized, as this little girl prophesied this morning, to be synchronized. That's the whole book, actually. That was perfectly prophetic, is that Deuteronomy is about becoming synchronized. It takes two to tango is the phrase I use as the title. It takes two to tango, right? And that's a close dance. Faith isn't about the religion and the rituals and so forth first. It's about a relationship, a close, intimate relationship with God, which God was seeking to have. He had them make the temple, the Holy of Holies, and he came, he was present with them as he sat in the Holy of Holies, his presence. Of course, it's the invisible presence of God, which is going to change to the manifest and real presence of God in Jesus Christ. But Deuteronomy, God wants them to dance, and it takes two to tango. What's happened a lot in the last decades is this, in the Christian community, the sense that you're okay. If you're in once, you're okay. You know, you never have to worry again, no matter what you do, no matter where you go. And in Lutheranism, that's been kind of that has been happening again and again and again. The sense that if you're baptized, no worries, you're good. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what Lutheranism says? Or, for that matter, other faiths as well? Well, let me first of all go back, and I'm going to touch on these scriptures. Look at the Deuteronomy passage. Well, you can't see it, but the Deuteronomy passage, here he preaches three sermons. You guys, come on, dance with the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Stand in the ways of God. By the way, the Ten Commandments are set again to a new generation. They wandered, they got the Ten Commandments, and then they were called to take the promised land. They failed, and so they wandered 40 years. The next generation, God gives them the commandments again. The Ten Commandments appear in Deuteronomy for the second time. It's not the second law, which is what the title means. It's the second giving of the old law. Ten Commandments comes again and says, these are the wedding vows. This is what you do as you follow me. And through Moses' sermons, God is calling Israel back to follow him, this new generation. But as he does it, he goes, listen, you guys, follow the Lord your God, you know, be faithful and all that. And then he goes, God, it's not going to happen, is it? He knows these people are sinful. This was not a good ride in the wilderness. Although, when has it been good? When have people not failed? This is what he says in Deuteronomy. The Lord says to Moses, you're going to rest with your ancestors, which means he's going to die soon, and these people will soon prostrate themselves before. He just had a sermon of following God, and then on the side, he says, these people will soon prostrate themselves to foreign gods of the land they're entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. In that day, I'll become angry and forsake them. Sounds like divorce, which is going to happen. In the future, historical books, we're not that far away from that. Let's go on. For I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you had been rebellious against the Lord while I'm still alive and with you, how much more will you rebel when I die? This is Moses. This is his team. This is his team, and he's complaining about them because they just can't follow God. So the word is follow God. That's God's always asking us to follow him. And yet it's clear that we cannot, and they could not. And so he says, I know that after my death you are sure to become utterly corrupt and turn away from the way I've commanded you. In the days to come, disaster will fall on you because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord. You will do evil in the sight of the Lord and arouse his anger by what your hands have done. So there is something after salvation. There's something after salvation in this relationship to maintain it, to keep it. And the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures and the Old Testament scriptures, there's so many of them that talk about, you know, you'll make it if you persevere to the end. There's so many scriptures. The Lutheran Book of Concord, this is the Book of Concord, the Lutheran document from the 1500s. As a pastor, I vow when I get out of seminary to be faithful to the Bible and also be faithful to the Lutheran confessions as they explain the Bible. When it comes to the major point of Christian faith and dialogue, it comes down to justification. Luther said justification or salvation is the doctrine of all doctrines. It's the doctrine of all doctrines. And so when you look at justification in what we call the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, which is a document in the 1500s, an associate of Luther wrote it and put it together as they were seeking to combat the errors of the church at the time. And in it, that article on it goes over 100 pages. 340 times it says that 340 times it just talks about faith. But it says faith. What justifies a sinner is faith. 340 times, faith. You got to have faith. Twice baptism is mentioned in passing. And again, I've said this before, but Lutheran doctrine is that, yes, the infant baptism brings life and heaven and relationship with God and with the church. But how is an adult saved? By ongoing repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, which is none other, the confessions say, than baptism. Baptism is a confession. It's like being baptized all over again. But there's something that we do as we continue in our Christian life. God looks at us. He knows that we will fail. He knew the Israelites were going to fail again. Again. Now, in the middle of the book, the greatest part of Deuteronomy is that Moses gathers all the people together, and they have a retelling of the vow, or re-saying of the vows. They have a marriage renewal. They all get together, and they vow to follow God. They vow to follow God. It doesn't stop there. God prophesies that it's not going to stop there. They're going to need help again down the road. People can fall away from God. Now, there's a group, John Calvin, a contemporary of Luther, said you can't fall away. I'm not going to get into details here. A lot of my friends believe that, so forth. Lutheran doctrine says you can fall away. Now, there's scriptures on both sides, but really it doesn't matter. The point is we both are preaching Jesus Christ, and however the salvation works through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it'll do it. We're just called to proclaim Christ, no matter what side you believe. But Lutheranism has always said, you can fall away. You can fall away. Now, the confessions say it also. You can fall away. In fact, I have in the back I have, Kay, where are you, Kay? Could you go back and get in the back table, there are scriptures and that you can fall away. Okay, so what does this mean? This means that Christian life isn't over when you're baptized, that there can still be death. Let's look at another scripture here. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith. What do you do with that? Follow deceiving spirits. Such teaching comes through hypocritical liars. And then later also, look at the gospel reading. You'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. So many will fall away from the faith. I could go on, and I will go on. Other scriptures, whoever stands firm to the end will be saved, Matthew 24. 1 Timothy 5, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Hebrews 3, we are his house if indeed we hold firmly in our confidence and hope that we glory in. Hebrews, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold firmly till the end our original conviction. And I go on and on. These are back. I have 10 copies of both what the Bible says about falling away and what Lutheran confessions say about falling away, and they're on a back table. And just pick that up if you're interested in knowing these and seeing these. And then from the Lutheran confessions, it's just full of this falling away. I've color-coded my big, thick book. Orange, whenever it talks about you can fall away, that you can lose the Spirit of God, you can lose faith, you can lose God in relationship with him. It's very clear. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, I sat down with a Lutheran pastor, and I kind of knew where he was coming from, but I wanted to make sure. And I said, John, got a scenario for you. There's a man in your congregation who was baptized as an infant. Today, though, however, he hates God. He despises Jesus Christ. He lives a purposely immoral life. He's baptized as an infant. Is he in the kingdom of God? John said, yes. I asked, do you think Luther meant that? He said, yes. But he was wrong on both counts. I have heard that continually among many pastors from many different groups of Lutherans. Talk about that. You've got to realize in baptism is a betrothal. It's a betrothal. Just like in the storyline we're going through, the betrothal was with Abraham and Sarah. In chapter 12 of Genesis, God betroths a family and says, we're going to get married one day. We're going to have kids, descendants, thousands of them. It's a betrothal. When they get to Mount Sinai and they make vows before God, that's the wedding. They are wed. God moves in with them. Deuteronomy is the retaking of the vows. It is to remember the commitment that Israel has towards God, that Israel had towards God. You can fall away from faith. And again, people on the other side, my friends, pastors would say, if you do hate God, despise Jesus Christ, and so forth, well, you're not in the faith. You never were. Doesn't matter. What matters is you can't get stuck in baptism and think that's the end now. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Maybe has to do with continuing to repent. The key to Christian life today as an adult is repentance, which is none other than baptism, the Lutheran confessions say. If we repent, every time we repent, we are washing anew in those waters. Repentance is how we stay in life with God. That's why we do it every week, isn't it? We have the bread and wine, where forgiveness is offered in some powerful, direct way. We do the brief order for confession and forgiveness. Why? Because God looks at us and goes, yeah, this is what I want you to do. But they're not going to do it. They'll never make that. It's like when my kids were little, and you know, and we had them jump different distances and so forth, and you got to a certain length, and that child thought that they could jump that far. And I'd encourage them, you know, go, come on, you can do it. Are you kidding me? And God's doing that too. He's saying, God is saying, these are the laws. These are the commandments again I'm going to give you. But you're not going to be able to do it. We can't do it. Even as redeemed people, we can't do it. We sin much more than you and I ever think. Pride, thoughts, not trusting God in difficult times, blaming God for sorrow, whatever, on and on and on and on. He knows we cannot, even as a redeemed person, keep it. He didn't save us when we were good. He saved us when we were bad. And I'm still the same Kent. I still battle with, and hopefully we can get better at this through our Christian walk, but we battle against these things, and they keep coming at us. And some of the same things that we had before we're Christians, we still deal with. If it was greed, then maybe greed, or jealousy, then jealousy. Self-pity, self-pity. I mean, the fight's not over yet. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means that we are serious about our life in faith. I pray occasionally, I just say, God, reveal to me the sins that I'm not aware of. And the list is long. And at times he does. This has happened just recently where some sins came up, and I went, yeah, you know, I didn't know it. But that was kind of, you know, capturing my life. Didn't think about it. It's okay. You don't have to enumerate all your sins. But repentance is the key to ongoing Christian life. And if you know, it sounds so negative, doesn't it? But it's not. It's like taking baths. It's Arizona, of course, so then I do scoop it all up and bring it out, put on the plants outside. I did once with good intentions. We are sinners, and you know, it doesn't wipe me out negatively. It's like a warm bath every time I realize again, I acknowledge that I'm forgiven. It's like a warm bath. I come dirty, and Christ cleanses. It's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. We need to be cleansed. We need to be careful with our Christian life. What else does it tell us? We better be careful about our Christian life. I just said that. It's saying it a second time. That is, we better be careful to be in fellowship, to be in relationship with the Word of God and the bread and wine, the Word and sacrament. We got to be deliberate as to growing and keeping faith alive. This has been an odd thing, and it's new Christians don't get it. New Christians think that they're going to just go get better and better and become perfect by the time they die. We still wrestle with sin. And when I and so many young people and their teenagers came to faith in Christ at the same time, through the years, all of us have gone through difficult things. All of us have continued to deal with some of the sin issues that we had to deal with before that. Now we try to stiff arm it with the power of the Holy Spirit. We keep it at bay. We want to. But it's going to be difficult if you're not in fellowship, if you're not in the Word. You know, sometimes it's like we feel like Switzerland. We don't need a military. Well, the mountains, at least in the old days when they didn't have airplanes, the mountains protected us, right? We don't need a military. Well, I'm baptized. We don't need anything else. We don't need a military. We don't have to be on the defensive and watch for enemies. Sure we do. Satan is alive and well. Satan would love to tear you from faith in Jesus Christ. Love to tear you from faith in Jesus Christ. We've got to be thinking about these things. We've got to be serious about a Christian life. I mean, I enjoy the Christian life. It is enjoyable and fun. But there's this issue of there are enemies. Our own nature still sits. Luther says it kind of clings to our necks to choke us, trying to choke us. The old nature, the old Adam, the old Eve, that old nature which still lives in us. Again, Christ died for us and allowed us relationship with himself before we're good. And he still allows us, I'm in relationship with God even though I'm not good. Another thing we take from this is, are you in the kingdom of God? I don't care if you come from Calvin or Luther on the disagreements on can you fall away or not. We both will agree that if you are living a deliberately sinful life, and you kind of dishonor and despise Jesus Christ, really? You're still in? Have you come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ? Have you wandered off a little like the Israelites did? Are you not dancing with God? Because, by the way, it's a dance. Just religion is just like having a cup of tea with somebody. But you add intimacy, and it brings color to Christian faith. It brings music to Christian faith. It brings a dance. It makes it a dance. If you're religious, maybe you're religious here today, and you're kind of trying to follow the commandments and the rules, it's not going to get you there. If you're a rule follower and always looking at trying to, you know, do this and that and do the right rituals and so forth, you're going to be disappointed. That's not a colorful faith. What brings color and life is this intimacy that God is asking of us while we're sinners. God came and dwelt in the tent of meeting among the sinful Israelites, and they camped all around it. A holy God among unholy people. Have you been betting on your baptism? And again, it saves the child, but what saves the adult and keeps you in those waters is ongoing repentance, which Deuteronomy clearly is talking about. We need to continue to renew our vows. This renewal of the vows of Israel in the desert is what we do. We did it this morning. We had a renewal of our vows. Did you know that? Renewal of our wedding vows. We should probably have a man and woman up here dressed in wedding stuff every communion to make it us understand that this is about intimacy. It's not about this is the best religion and we're going to sign on. It is about discovering God, a God who wants to dance with you, wants to give you life and joy and peace, and a stubborn nature in us that really wants independence. Are you right with God today? I mean, think about it. Think of your life. If you have no notion of God or thought of God in the day, or you're involved with immoral stuff purposely without repentance, we got a problem. I don't know who's not in the kingdom in this room. I don't want to know. I mean, unless it'd be helpful for you. Or if you do come to faith, I'd like to know that. But I'm saying it's not just come to church, go home, come to church, go home. This is about a relationship. It's like a relationship with my wife. You know, if a marriage begins to neglect itself, begins to spend time away all the time, begins to crack, if it's unattended, it's going to fall apart. Relationships are that way. Same with God. I think if you understand being intimate with God, it is the most amazing, beautiful thing. Dancing with Christ. But I'm here to say today that Jesus wants you, no matter what you've done. Some of you haven't come back because you're concerned about your sin being too big. It's not too big. Not for God. Not too big at all. He wants you. He wants you. But how you connect, reconcile, is through repenting of your sins, genuine repentance. And so I'm declaring what the disciples did in Acts. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just those words the Holy Spirit can use in order to convict you this morning. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my word for you. Just repeating what the apostles said. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then get ready for a dance, because it's a regular hoedown barn dance following Jesus Christ. Amen.